The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 209. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
What's up?
The guide's femme fatale, Stephanie Lee.
Oh, I like that.
You like that one?
Yeah.
And then IGN editor, Destin McGarry.
Hi, I'm Destin.
Hey, how you doing, Destin?
Hi, I'm Destin.
Destin, Stephanie, she's been on the Podcast Beyond before. Folks know her from Unlocked and Girl Fight. You're a strange duck. You just walked in here. You got your little knapsack on a stick like a hobo. Explain to the kids who you are.
Oh, I work in the guides department here at IGN, and I make a crap load of content, video content, about video games.
You do a lot of the first 45s. You do a lot of commentary stuff over it. You're a new position. You're a flower that's blossoming before our eyes.
Correct.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm pretty much building the video department. Well,
in your image.
Yeah.
Making it what you want it
guides.
To be.
Stephanie's also doing a lot of the video content,
No,
too.
She's just dragging it down.
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And I constantly bother Destin, like, hey, how do I do this? Wait, what?
Stephanie.
Can you do this? Show me this again?
Wipe transition. Star wipes.
All right. The comedic timing on mine was lost.
Never Sorry. Mind. Move yeah. on. It got run over.
I was going to say that we are all still learning in like a sort of flowery monk-like voice.
But I was referring to video editing specifically.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've learned all I need.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're done?
I'm over it.
Ready to go?
Totally.
You might as well die.
I'm ready. Take me now, Lord. Well, actually, let me finish a couple games, and then I'm all set to go. Destin, before you came here, where would people know you from?
Screw Attack.
That's right. Do some stuff in the Screw Attack voice. Talk about Mario's hat.
Mario's hat looks really stupid. And
that's Screw Attack, everybody!
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I don't know.
I was wondering why I recognized his voice.
The Screw Attack voice?
It's funny. I didn't put it together forever. Yeah. And then I saw you do the fix. And I'm like, motherfucker, he's the Screw Attack guy. Okay. All right.
Yep.
And then he hated Destin for the rest of his life.
No, it's fine.
When I came on, I was like, I wonder if anyone's going to recognize me from the news thing I used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people do.
Yeah,
and people hated me so much. Like, I had like a very polarizing audience. A lot of people hated it. A lot of people loved it. So, yeah.
I think that goes for everyone, though, right?
Well, mm-hmm. Anything you post on IGN, you're going to get hated on.
Not everybody is a Ryan Clements fan, I'll tell you that much.
Really? What's not to like about you?
My strange, ambiguous sexuality.
Oh, okay. I kind of like that. I never know where I stand with you. Is he flirting with me? Is he just trying to give me a ride home? Where is this going
to
go?
Give me a ride.
I don't know what's happening. This dancing is sensual. Welcome. If this is your first time, this is the IGN PlayStation podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. Make sure you go to IGN.com to read all our cool stuff. Ryan, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Kicking off the Roper Report, Colin Moriarty not here today.
We should have said something.
He's taking. We're doing it right now.
Yeah,
we got to quicker than usual.
All right.
He's taking 2 days off. He is getting recuperated to get ready for New York Comic Con. He and I are going there next week to tear it apart. and do a live podcast beyond if you'd like to come be part of the show and win free shit from the IGN show, free shit, and some other stuff. You want to come to New York Comic Con Friday at 7:30, Podcast Beyond panel. Look for anything IGN related. It'll be right there. The reason you should come, I tweeted about this yesterday. Ryan, we went to Sony.
Oh, my God.
We played a whole bunch of Vita games.
We did?
Yeah.
When was this?
Yesterday.
I'm just kidding.
We played a whole bunch of Uncharted.
We did.
We had a good day yesterday.
It was really good. That was one of the first times that I was sitting next to both of you, and we were all getting the same demo at the same time.
And I'd like to point out, everybody, Destin, Stephanie, I want you to know that if yesterday would have been an episode of The Tester, I would have won the finale because I finished the demo before both of them. So,
but I was
feather in market.
Now I would like to point out,
if this
out,
doesn't pan out, I just go win The Tester.
I would like to point out that I had several really dumb deaths at the beginning of the demo.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also like to point out that I did win a close second.
Yeah, yeah.
Colin didn't even finish.
Yeah, so, there you go. So
just to recap, you lost, Greg won.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
He was the first loser, is what.
But yeah, I came in first to last place.
I'm Will Powers, and you're Star Slayer, and then Colin is just that guy who ate Beerios in the first episode and then never got heard from again.
I don't know any of the
references. I love me some Tester references. Oh, my God. Anyways, we're getting off track. We saw all these cool games. We'll talk about it topic of the week.
Yeah.
However, we also got to see some really cool PlayStation 3 controllers. These fancy colored ones for Ratchet & Clank All for One. They don't have the matte finish. They're really bright and colorful. Orange, purple, green, and blue.
Yes.
They gave us 3 sets to give away. We took 1 set. You took the purple one.
Yes.
I took orange.
Yes.
Colin took blue. Yes. Anthony Gaios took green today. However, if you would like to get a set of these Ratchet & Clank controllers, you need to come to the IGN Podcast Beyond free shit panel at New York Comic Con 7:30. We'll be giving them away there along with a whole bunch of Blu-rays, DVDs, some games, a whole bunch of stuff Chris Carl's bringing from his show.
Can you take some of the stuff that I have on my desk and to give away?
If you can mail it to me, sure. Okay. I don't really want to pack it.
Go. I don't know. They're just paper you can put at the bottom of your suitcase and stuff. Is that going to be a problem?
Oh, it's paper?
Yeah.
What the hell are you giving away?
It's a poster.
Oh, sure. I can
but it's
that.
Not a big poster. It's one of those kind of smaller. I mean, I don't know how big your F1 audience is going to be at this panel.
My F. Oh, Formula One Racing.
Yes.
I thought you were insulting the audience for a second. I'm sure it's going to be huge. Podcast Beyond.
No.
Free shit.
Okay.
New York Comic Con.
Okay.
7:30 Friday.
Okay.
All right. If you want to hang out with Colin and I, you have 2 other opportunities, however. First off, you can come play Uncharted 3 with us at the Sprint. Oh, hold on. The Sprint Uncharted Experience outside of the IGN Theater. I am not making any of this up. This is all really branded this way. The Sprint Uncharted Experience outside of the IGN Theater, Saturday at 3 p.m. We'll be there from 3 to 4 playing Uncharted with fans like you. And then that night is the IGN meet and greet at New York Bowl Lanes. New York Bowl Lanes. I believe it's bowling. But there's going to be food and drinks. So I won't be bowling much. Maybe after a few drinks. We'll see.
You should bowl. Bowl with the fans. That'll be good.
Do I really want to show off that athletic prowess?
Yeah, you do.
I can barely wee bowl, let alone real bowl.
You can't Weeble?
I can't Weeble. I used to be all
Weeble. Right. Weeble. That's a fun word, isn't it?
Weebles, wow, well, but they don't fall down.
Like an internet animator or something, isn't it?
All right, let's get to stuff people can talk about.
Let's do it.
Destin.
Yes.
You're very excited for Batman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm very excited for Batman.
Very.
Here's some Batman news for you.
Oh.
This week out of the world of Batman. I guess skip ahead a minute and a half if you don't hear this. It's not spoilers, though, so just shut the F up, kids. All right. Got Stephanie, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
These crybabies on the internet.
Stephanie.
You shut the hell up. Okay, and I forgot to point out at the top of the show, Stephanie Lee stole my seat. I'm in a different seat.
Whatever.
I got no Colin. I got no anchor. I don't know what's happening.
I'm right here, man. I'm your anchor. You just use me. Use me.
But okay. The redeeming thing is that room is a lot brighter now. So
yeah, it's true. We turned on some lights. It is because Steph's here. Or maybe it's Destin. I don't know. We'll have to keep trying them out one by one.
We're
to see
radiating brilliance right now.
Oh, don't put that one on.
Now.
You're going to turn on the spotlight.
Too much. Turning on more lights. It's too much.
All right, anyways. The Batman news from this week. The trophy list got leaked on one of our favorite sites, ps3trophies.org.
Oh, okay.
Up there, they have the DLC trophies.
Interesting.
DLC trophies include the Catwoman missions we've been talking about forever, Robin stuff, which we knew the challenge maps, mm-hmm. and the Nightwing challenge maps. So first off, we're confirming Nightwing as a character. That's huge. At least it's just this challenge map thing. Cool.
You know what they released his theme song too?
What is it?
It goes, Nightwing, beware the beast in black.
I'll roll.
It was a really bad take on Nightcrawler from Judas Priest. I don't know if you got that reference.
I didn't get it, but I'm sure someone out there just did.
Pretty happy.
Some
kids
out in his truck going to the high school sock hop, and he's all Judas Priest.
I mean, it was different.
Okay. But, so Nightwing confirmed. That's cool.
It was good, Ryan.
However, we didn't know that Catwoman missions that they've been pumping forever. It's been in the art that they were going to be basically an online pass. If you buy the game used, you're not going to have access to those unless you go buy it off the store.
So if I buy the game used and I get the online pass, do I get access to all the DLC or just the Catwoman?
This is just, it's a code, or well, I don't know, actually, I guess. It's assuming it's a code just for Catwoman. Because she's the one that's been talked about forever, right? That she's in the game. Robin, we know, is early access if you have Best Buy. And the Nightwing, we've never heard anything about. So taking all that into account, it should just be a code for Catwoman you get when you get the game.
It's cool. So I'm going to be able to buy the other ones then, it sounds like.
Yes.
After the game launches.
Yes. Since they're on the trophy list, I would pretty much bet dollars to donuts.
Thank God. I hate DLC exclusives.
Yeah. Well, it sucks that we don't get Robin right away, I guess. But then it's a reason.
I want to play as Robin. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait forever. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Lee, are you upset at all that Catwoman is not included on the disc?
Well, I mean, these exclusives are just exclusive for like a little while. And then later on, they'll probably all be available to everyone.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
That's how it usually works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not bent out of shape about the online pass. No. The used game market slowly being snuffed out. By money-hungry WB. Oh, we made a game. Pay us for it. No, I don't think so.
No, sir. You're just like throwing a newspaper around.
Sorry.
I don't know. You would have like one of those rolled up.
I'll go buy Sunsoft Batman on Sega Genesis.
Mm. How was that?
It was really good, actually.
Yeah?
That was a good game, actually. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Yeah. Was that the two?
Yeah.
I think I actually owned that then. It was 2D platformer action.
It's the one I'm talking about is the one Joker. That was based on the movie and stuff, and Joker does the real animated fall at the end or whatever.
Mm-hmm. No.
Those were the days, Stephanie Lee, I tell you. Yeah. Also enjoyed Batman Returns on the Game Gear. Mm. That was one of my Game Gear games I played a lot of. Mm. No?
Dustin
didn't know? Come on.
On the Game Gear?
Yeah. I did have it plugged in. I was getting ready for the PlayStation Vita. So many years ago.
Wear your 6 AA batteries.
Yeah, that's what you needed. Remember the Nomad too? They don't make them like they used to anymore. I'll tell you that right now.
Which I'm glad for.
They make them better.
Yeah.
Except for the Vita.
All right, so this online pass pretty much for Batman, even though there's no multiplayer, but that's how Catwoman works. You know what also has an online pass? They call it a PSN pass, Uncharted 3. Mm. Not going to be able to get multiplayer unless you use the PSN pass that comes with the new game.
I don't like that.
Yeah? Why not?
Well, it comes with the new game?
Yeah, it comes with the new game. Oh, okay. It's just an online pass like anything. It's just like Catwoman, which you were fine with.
Yeah.
So choose your side already, Dustin.
Yeah, that's not so bad then. I thought you were like, you're going to have to buy an online pass.
No. Oh, yeah, if you buy the game new, the pass is included, you buy it used, probably already redeemed, you need to get on and do it.
That's not so bad, I guess.
Well, what would be interesting is if they charged like $50 for the new game, and then you paid the extra $10 for the online pass. So that, you know,
if you want
it, yeah, if they want to be jerks about it,
yeah,
then yeah.
Well, no, but that would be the total price of the purchase anyway, because the PS3 games are usually $60.
Yeah.
So if they charge for $50, and you just pay the extra $10 if you want to get online.
Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty much what's happening though.
You said
they
would be jerks
retail.
About it.
Well, no, I'm saying like how you
Destin's
have to
a double talker.
You have to buy the game new to get that online content, correct?
Correct.
Like that's how they're doing everything nowadays.
Right.
So what if they like gave us something not well I guess they kind of are I don't know what I'm
I
saying
I'm just gonna I mean the big like it's one of those things where microtransactions are such a big deal you could see them moving to that, but they won't do it anytime soon because right now it's accepted that you're paying $60 for a game, so they'll never want to go take a step down because people will not pay the $10 necessarily, you know. Like Damon would never buy that, whereas if he buys Uncharted he's paying for it.
I'm still a big fan of the idea of separating single player and multiplayer and paying for them separately, because Uncharted obviously is gonna be a single player experience. And then another game like Battlefield 3 or Modern Warfare 3 are multiplayer experiences primarily.
Yeah.
So I want to buy them separately.
Okay. One day, Stephanie. When there's just one console to rule them all, that'll be possible,
I guess. The Ultrabot.
Yeah, the Ultrabot 2000.
Yeah.
Kyle the Chimera's baby. Speaking of this, Lewis McCall writes in with something I didn't think about. Don't you think it's kind of bullshit that you can't get the Platinum Trophy if you rent Uncharted 3? Interesting.
Really?
You can?
Yeah. Well, because the online pass would already have been redeemed, and there's two trophies for Uncharted 3 that are playing
can
this match plan.
Technically, buy the online pass then?
Yeah, Lewis McCall is just a cheap bastard. He pays his GameFly, and he thinks he's entitled to everything.
Right.
He's not. That's the problem. And this is a wake up call for you, Lewis. This is how the world works.
I'll tell you what.
Business 101.
After you pay $60 to rent that game long enough to get the Platinum Trophy, you know, then you can pay the extra $10 to actually get it.
So, yeah.
That's true.
Lewis, you silly person. I'm not offended by it, yeah. I think even if you were doing Gamefly and you're paying for, what is it, $9.99 a month, probably, mm-hmm. something
like
that?
It's actually $16.
Oh, really? Well, mm-hmm. there you go, $26 for that 1 month, but you're still getting the game at less than, or I guess more than half off, so suck it up, Lewis McCall. Come on, get it together.
Yeah, seriously.
Greg telling it how it is.
Yeah. I'm laying it down. Oh, before we switch to, remember that now that the Subway multiplayer is live, which I guess is news. Everybody, hey, if you go to Subway, you buy the sandwich. There it is. You get to go play the multiplayer.
Was that not until? Oh, that
it went live Friday. So we didn't talk about it last Beyond.
Are all the maps available? Because in the beta, there were only two.
There's three. There was three in the beta.
There were six.
Now there are six. Oh. There's Yemen too. Yemen came later. Remember, it was Chateau and it was Airstrip, and then they finally added Yemen. Mm-hmm. So those are included now. And then you also get London Underground, Syria, and Desert Town.
And then you were saying that all the progress you make in this multiplayer promotion gets carried over to the real game.
Correct. Cool. 100% correct. Yes.
Very cool.
So I was really happy about that.
I think that's a cool promotion.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Christopher Stewart writes in, but I don't think we've clarified yet what's happening. So let me real quick. If you didn't watch the awesome video we put up on Friday,
you should go do.
Yes. PlayStation Conversations on IGN.com. Basically, you go to Subway anytime during the month of October. This is U.S. only. Sorry if you're in Slovakia.
Slovakia?
Yeah.
That was a good little reference.
Some guy right now in a Slovakia hat and has his legs all excited. He's jumping around in his computer. Yay!
They finally recognize.
Anyways, you go there. You buy a 30-ounce soda. You get a code that you redeem at Subway or adventure.subway.com. You get a code then for the PSN to download the entire multiplayer suite, which isn't completely the entire thing, but we'll get to that later. Then you can also buy a sandwich or you can buy chips and you get a code there that will unlock DLC. This is confusing Christopher Stewart. I'm loving the Subway promotion and getting to play Uncharted early, but my code didn't give me the $5 footlong taunt. Remember, of course, $5 footlong. If you don't have a Subway where you are, the $5 footlong taunt is you make the five with your hand, and then you make a footlong motion with your two hands.
Yep.
And you can see Nathan Drake or Elena do that in Uncharted. And it's actually it's hilariously horrible, but it's great.
It's funny.
You know how we were talking about DLC before? Uh-huh. I think every piece of DLC should be combined with a food product of some kind. So, go to Burger King, you get the Robin thing for Batman.
Oh, yeah. I would love a Burger King the king, the helmet, or just be a playable character. And then...
Way to help the obesity epidemic in America.
Oh, here we go. Just like this Modern Warfare Pepsi thing.
Catwoman just has a golden arch on her chest.
Yeah.
It's just tattooed right on there.
Yeah. Christopher continues, a ridiculous complaint, to be sure. But I think the taunt is hilarious. And really, Subway branded the only extra that's worth it. I'm just mixed up on how to unlock it. So, Christopher, what you have to do is the soda gets you the code to get in the game, but you don't get any of the other stuff. If you then keep going to Subway, you get a sandwich, you get the chips, you get extra codes that unlock weapons, they unlock the taunt, they unlock the shirt, they unlock a whole bunch of stuff. Believe it or not, we here at Podcast Beyond have a whole bunch of those codes to give away. Something like 100, Ryan. 100 different codes to give away. The way we're going to do it is totally scientific. It's going to be you write into beyond@ign.com with the subject line, I would like a Subway code, and I will send you one of the Subway codes.
Remember, complicated.
They only work in America, so don't bother if you're far, far away.
Yep.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Oh, no. Beta.
Oh, fuck. I totally forgot to check out the Porum and Palum fan fiction that Colin requested. I'll wait for
Colin's
Colin
not
to
here,
get
so yeah, yeah, we could just hit that. Colin asked for books like The Road too. A whole bunch of people wrote in with a post-apocalyptic thing, but we're gonna wait on that because Colin needs to be here to wade through it. Yeah. But yeah, remember, if you want to be part of the show, write into beyond@ign.com anytime you feel like it. And then, of course, now if you'd like a Subway code, just write into beyond@ign.com again. And then come to New York Comic Con if you want the controllers because they're pretty awesome. Hey, Ryan.
Yes.
If I told you Jack and Daxter HD might be coming, what would you say?
I'd say cool beans, brother.
All right, Destin, what would you say?
Who cares?
Stephanie, what
I would
you
actually
say?
Be pretty stoked. I love the original one.
Well, ooh, then, you better hope this rumor out of South Africa is true. A retailer over there says Jack and Daxter HD listed as an upcoming release here for the new year. So, Sony, of course, doesn't comment on rumor and speculation. I am not convinced. Colin is pretty much convinced, he says. Why would they have it in there, he says. He keeps saying, why would they have it in there if it's not real?
Because they might just be bullshitting.
I don't know. I don't know how you run a retail system in South Africa. I don't know. You just put it in whatever you want to put in. Maybe somebody rumored it once.
There were three Jack and Daxters, right?
And then Jack X Racing or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, so they'll do a collection.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they?
I mean, it makes sense. We just did... here's something I was thinking about when I went and saw Max Payne 3 the other day. I just posted a preview of it. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, all these memories came back of how much I enjoyed Max Payne, I would love a Max Payne collection.
Yeah.
But if Rockstar would get off their
ass.
You
want to walk on the blood again?
Oh, yeah. The blood trail is the best part. The crying baby way off in the corner. Yeah. My giant square head. Yes. These are the experiences I want to feel again.
Hey, Greg. Yeah. Real quick, when we're speaking on collections, have you seen the emails of readers calling us out on some bet we made like 4 bajillion years ago?
I have, but I don't recall
it. It was from
them,
the Shadow. Apparently, it was from the Eco Collection.
Oh, I said that it would never happen,
right? You said
right?
It would never happen. And then apparently you said that you would bet me a ham sandwich.
Oh, that
so
sounds
we need,
right.
We need to
that
go back like and something. Check. We
you
need
can go to
back
Subway
and
get right. that.
Because I don't want
to. Let's kill 2 birds with one stone. We'll go get a $5 footlong Subway ham sandwich today, and then we'll give the code away on Beyond tomorrow.
I can't do it today. I have lunch.
Well, I'm kidding. Yeah, I packed lunch.
Okay, good.
I have someone coming to show me a game that may or not be related to the next news story. Yakuza of the End is coming to America this March, but now it's called Yakuza. Dead Souls.
They just want to capitalize on that Souls.
Interesting.
Movement.
I thought, right?
Didn't Yakuza 4 just come out?
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Okay.
I mean, it came out last year. We're about a year behind on the Yakuza games as far as they're launching over in Japan.
So,
felt
funny.
Pretty recent to me. I don't know.
Well, we all just tried talking at once. That was
we're
going
to do it. Everybody wants
it.
Wait. Destin, did you want to go real quick?
Why are they changing the name? Like, I like the Japanese name better, actually.
Yakuza of the End? I don't know. To me, it makes it sound like it's the end of the franchise, and Lord knows they're going to continue flying this plane into the ground.
Yeah. It goes up and then goes back down again.
Why don't we just make the whole plane out of a black box? If the black box
know,
can survive
right?
the ground. All right, anyways.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
I do want to say a quick funny story when our good friend Eric Brudvig used to work at IGN.
Eric Brudvig
worked at IGN, and he was the executive editor of the Xbox channel. Him and I went to Japan on his last TGS with IGN, and I remember we were invited into Sega's big mega theater so that we could view the Yakuza of the End trailer.
Uh-huh.
And so we were like, oh, cool, you know, we'll just go in there for 5 minutes. It'll be fun.
Oh,
we'll,
no, that's a mistake. I know where this story's going.
We ended up being in there for probably 7 hours. I mean, or what felt like. I mean, this trailer was easily a 10-minute-plus trailer.
Yeah.
And it kept on doing this thing where it would slam white text onto a black background. But every time it did that, it would make like this eardrum shattering noise. More so than a normal American trailer where it's like, boom. This was not like an Inception, like, I mean, this was actually a painful noise. It was painful. And we did this for more than 10 minutes.
Before you went in there, you should have called me. Because the year before, they did the same thing to me with Yakuza 4, where I went in there and I sat through this giant trailer. It was an awesome trailer, but I totally would have warned you.
It was just amazing because I could see the de-evolution of Brudvig during that trailer. Because the start, he was like, you know, really frantically taking notes because he assumed he would only be taking notes for 2 to 3 minutes, and eventually he like slowed down and he just sort of then he just like put his notepad down, and we were both just staring at this trailer so long, and it kept on repeating footage too, like 3 to 4 times.
Yeah.
Oh man, not
and
fun.
The text is in Japanese.
Yeah
you don't know what they're saying.
We didn't know what was going
exactly.
on. Nothing was translated. I mean, it was just bad choice.
And then all the article had to be was a paragraph that, hey, Yakuza's back, this time with zombies.
Yep.
And you're done.
And there's this guy with a chain gun for an arm, and everybody's dying.
Yep.
Okay.
It's chilly in here.
That was...
You're wearing a fleece. Come on.
I don't know. It's my pants, like half my pants are soaked.
All right.
My hands.
She was really excited to be on the podcast.
Exactly. I was going to say, bathrooms are broken in IGN. It's become really crazy. Now,
well, it's raining dog shit, pretty much.
Raining dog shit.
Oh, that would be bad.
Wow.
That is a
weird way to measure rain. I don't know.
It's not raining like dog shit. It's just raining dog shit. Wow. It
certainly is raining. I was going
to
make a baseball reference.
What path do you take to work when you walk here?
It's wet outside.
Mm-hmm.
It is wet out.
Let's stick with our Japanese correspondent look here, all right?
Okay.
Here's one that I know you're excited about. Ni No Kuni has been renamed, Ryan.
Yes.
It's now Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
That's fine, because the Japanese subtitle was might not have translated very well.
Which was?
Which was originally Queen of the Holy White Ashes or something like that.
I like that one better.
I mean, it's cool, but it's a little harder to, you know, it doesn't flow off the tongue. I think they were probably trying to avoid that sacred/holy thing, because I'm sure that's offensive to someone somewhere in some place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yes.
I'm not ready to leave Japan just yet. You ready?
I'm so ready, man. I could stay in Japan all day.
We got the Final Fantasy 13-2 quiz for you.
Okay, I'm
you
ready.
Wrote the article about the pre-order bonuses.
Okay.
What are they?
Okay.
Pre-order Final Fantasy XIII-2. The numeral 2, not II.
I know what the three things are. It's just I'm going to forget what the retail is.
Well, try it. Guess it.
I'm pretty sure Best Buy, if you pre-order at Best Buy, you get a hardcover novella that tells a story that's bridging the story between Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2. Am I correct?
That one checks out.
All right.
They don't become pop stars, right?
Then I believe... No, I don't think so.
Damn.
Burn. I believe the GameStop one of them is a costume and the other one is... Okay, so the GameStop is the costume for Sarah. Correct or not correct?
That is correct. Lightning Sister Sarah.
So, yeah, Sarah gets an in-game costume if you pre-order at GameStop. And finally, if you pre-order at Amazon, you get an exclusive battle, a Colosseum battle with Omega. And if you defeat Omega, as is the case with a lot of monsters in Final Fantasy 13-2, he can be drafted into your party and trained and become like one of your party members.
Close but no cigar. At Amazon, you don't get an exclusive boss battle. You get a unique boss battle. I'm afraid I can't accept that answer. No, everything you said there was right. So, if you're looking for some... Are you excited about Final Fantasy 13 X2?
Way more now that I've heard about these pre-order bonuses. I was about to say something I wasn't allowed to say.
Oh, okay, okay. So you are
these
more.
These pre-order bonuses sound great.
Stephanie, Destin, any interest in Final Fantasy X2?
Nope, not at all.
No, because I played 13.
Zing. No?
If only I could talk. Oh, I can't.
Okay,
I can't say
okay, okay. Right. One day you'll be able to say something that might help.
Right. Maybe when they release that HD collection of 10, you can defeat that laughing cutscene that everybody hates.
Yeah, yeah. And I can go play more underwater soccer.
Yep.
Just what I want.
Man,
that was a fun minigame.
No, hold on a second.
No, it wasn't. It was not a fun minigame.
Blitzball? Blitzball was actually one of the most complex side tasks you could do in any Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, though I would argue that the best is still probably either from 7 or the Triple Triad card game from 8, because that game was sick.
Sick.
You could just run past.
Sick, nasty,
run after little village children, like, screaming, cards! Give me cards! And you'd trade cards with them.
Okay.
Like, you know. Not business cards.
No.
But playing cards, like Yu-Gi-Oh!, you know, like the Magics.
Okay.
Like the Gatherings.
All right, now we can go one of two ways.
Okay.
Do you want to go more?
I want to stay in Japan.
Oh, well, there it is. And that is the answer. Right. Gran Turismo 5 is getting a Spec 2.0 update.
I don't like this story.
We'll be out of it soon because we don't know anything about it. All standard cars have an interior view. There's a mid-race save feature and a whole bunch of other stuff. Check it out on IGN.com.
Okay.
Anybody care about Gran Turismo?
Nope.
Can we stay in Japan but not talk about Gran Turismo?
I'm only allowed to care about one game at a time. It's the one I'm playing, so.
In your, what are you currently playing?
Batman.
Oh, okay.
Complete and utter tunnel vision, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Stephen Ng has complete and utter tunnel vision.
That's probably true also.
I'd be like waving my arms wildly in front of him. He wouldn't notice me.
You're like on fire.
You know what game I can't wait for, everybody?
What?
The next Assassin's Creed game.
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited about that.
I had no idea you had that level of excitement.
Yeah.
That's I can't wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you more
excited? Oh, I'm sorry. Not the next one. The next one. That's right. There's a new Assassin's Creed game coming in 2012. So they haven't even released Revelations yet, but just a heads up, everybody. If you were worried that next year there wouldn't be one, there will be one.
They announced that?
Yes.
Really?
There is another Assassin's Creed coming
in 2012. Wait, that's
official? Annualized franchise.
It's going
Ubisoft
to
announces.
Be like a sequel to Brotherhood? Revelations?
I was going somewhere with that joke originally, but I am actually excited for Revelations. I love Assassin's Creed, and I do like the Ezio storyline. I have to imagine, I really, really hope that we are breaking away and doing Assassin's Creed 3. No?
Yeah, I'm just so glad with, I don't know about 3, but with Revelations, I am so glad to bring back Altair.
Yeah, totally.
I love the character Altair. I was having an argument on the internet about which one's better, Ezio or Altair. Ezio's a spoiled rich boy, and then, hey, I'm an assassin.
We've been there as he's grown up and had sex with people.
Yeah, yeah, so you feel like you're him.
And he's Nathan Drake.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, I like Desmond. I'm ready for a Desmond game. You know what I mean? And it seems like we're always just about there, but then we always keep going back. Like, I'm hoping maybe put a pin in this storyline. You know, we finish SEO's trilogy and then You know, Desmond has to go fight in the real world and do whatever.
Well, at the end of one, everybody was speculating that the next one would take place in Japan. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be a really cool angle to take the right. series.
Anytime they talk about where they wanted to go next, it's always awesome. Remember when there was like rumors that the next one would be the American Revolution? It was like, holy shit, that would be awesome. That would be so cool. And then it was like, no, okay, mm-hmm. more revolutions.
I heard a rumor that it would be in World War II. And actually, I didn't like that. That was too modern. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. with guns and stuff. Yeah, I don't want guns in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like revolutionary guns I could
if
deal
you want,
with. Like the musket.
One
yeah,
shot.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. If you want Assassin's Creed in Japan, just play the original Tenchu, okay? There's your answer.
Okay.
Let's move on to the next topic.
Okay, fine.
I was trying to channel Info Boy's old energy there.
Oh, Jim Riley. Okay. Yeah, I remember him. May he rest in peace.
He's not actually dead.
May he rest in peace.
Oh, goodness.
The free Portal 2 DLC is out. It's co-op only. Anthony Gallegos has been playing it. I asked him, what does he think of it? He says, quote, it's more Portal 2 co-op. It's really fucking hard.
End I think quote. That was actually his exact quote.
I wrote, that's why I asked. I was writing the story at the time.
I need to check that out.
It's free, so go get it.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Portal. You like Portal? Everybody
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just free for PSN Plus either. It's free for all. Correct?
It's free for any Portal version you have.
All
right. Anything you got. You got it.
Anything you got.
Speaking of PSN, Payday the Heist was supposed to come out this week, but it didn't. Delayed sometime late October now. We've been playing in the office. It's fun.
I don't understand that delay. I saw you guys playing. It looked great.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. I think it. It's all behind the scenes stuff. I think the game's done. I don't know. Maybe they're just. I don't know how much of it's from the developers. Much. I think it might be more Sony who's just like. We don't want to stack the PSN. They just announced this only on PSN Plus, or this only on PlayStation Network program, which is basically two games a week that are discounted for PlayStation Plus, but they're making a big deal about it. And on top of that, this week they released a set of PS2 games, Grim Grimoire, Odin Sphere, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
You're taking away all my news.
We'll get to
update.
That later. That was a tease. That was a tease.
Okay.
A tease. I'm teasing you. If you want more free content, get on DC Universe Online, which goes free to play at the end of the month. But regardless, the second Fortress of Solitude raid update went live this week. I've not had time to try it.
I was about to say, are you still playing that game?
I pick it up for this stuff, and I really want to. Like, I really still want to go make my villains with the Sinestro Ring, now that the Fight for the Light stuff came out, but I haven't had the time to get back into it. No. There's just so much going on right now. Next year, I'll surface and be able to try stuff.
Okay.
Right before,
are you drowning right now?
Yes. Aren't we all? There's a million games to play.
Can I help you? Should I throw something to you?
I don't think next year is going to be any better for you, Greg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about, like, I'm thinking, like, January. Shouldn't I? I mean, Mass Effect won't be out yet.
No, but there's a...
Star Wars.
Yeah.
You're going to play the Old Republic?
I don't have a tower at home.
I don't know. I feel like there'll be some.
I mean, I'll still hold over. I mean, I'm going to skip Skyrim until I have time to sit down and play Skyrim. And so I guess that could be it.
Got Take Assassin's it all Creed in there. Enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not
Skyrim is just starting to feel like a daunting task for me.
Yeah.
Are you doing the guy?
Yeah. Well,
Knock yourself out?
I think it's going to be a collaboration project on the guides team because there's no way I could tackle that project by myself.
Colin Moriarty would. God's guru, may he rest in peace.
I don't think he did any of the Elder Scrolls games.
No, he didn't. You're right.
And those are much bigger than Fallout games.
Yeah, just Fallout.
But he did two Fallout games back to back, which I would argue is that pretty much the equivalent.
It's labor intensive for sure. But he worked on it for like, what, 7 months or something?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's a big project. Fallout 3, documenting everything in that thing.
It's true.
That game was huge.
I'm not trying to downplay his...
You just did, actually, and I'd like you to leave the podcast. I will not have you insulting Colin Moriarty. May he rest in peace. His memory.
There have been a lot of deaths, apparently.
If you're out of my sight, I assume you're dead.
All right. So if I just walked out to go to the bathroom, would you just be like, well, may he rest in peace?
I just turned my head to look at the door, and you were dead for like 10 seconds. So I just immediately forgot.
Oh, you okay?
Oh, no. It's coming for me.
You need me to
Death's found me. Also, then rounding out, this would be an I doubt it if we were doing the do we care about this news story, really. Mm-hmm. FIFA sold 3 million copies in its first week. That's a lot of soccer going on.
Yay.
None of it underwater, though, so I really don't care.
That's actually really impressive.
Yeah. People love the soccer. I think it was that Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live was in the commercial.
I should really like. I have a soundtrack for that.
Everybody knows what that's from, right?
No, well, great.
It sounds like a slow crazy train. I don't.
This is actually the opening theme song to Final Fantasy X.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was like a big departure for the series.
I've used that song in editing a lot.
Nice.
Otherworld. Awesome.
Don't you give up on it? I'm not a world awaits you.
I like this.
Yeah, those are the lyrics.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Ryan,
let's keep going. Yes.
Colin's gone.
Yes.
Probably never to come back until New York Comic Con 7:30 on Friday. Everybody should come.
Until he rise from your grave.
Rise from your grave. If I wanted to know where to go for games, what could I do with Colin dead?
Well, you just turn to me, and I'm going to give you a sweet and savory list of upcoming PlayStation it is harder to do.
It's hard to do. Everybody makes fun of it, but it's a hard task to do this
I also
list.
Wasn't looking down.
It's only
just
the intro,
yet.
I guess it's hard to do.
Let's try again. The official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors. Thank you. Okay, this was a huge week.
Yeah,
this
it's the season.
Huge.
It's happening, Stephanie.
Huge week.
Remember when you said it wouldn't happen?
Now it's happening. I turned around and she was slumped over in her chair. Just completely
she looks like
unconscious.
She. What's the Harry Potter freezing spell? Stupefy? Is that right? Where you like go all rigid and you fall over?
I'm telling you, it's pretty cold in here.
So cold that you were frozen solid. All right. So, Greg, on PS3, we have Spider-Man Edge of Time.
I heard, to quote our reviewer, Daniel from the UK, Daniel Krupa, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, quote, it's shit. So, there you go.
Really?
We'll see what the review score banks out as, but I don't know what that's going to bank out as, but it's not good. I also saw Vic from Electric Playground saying it was a huge disappointment, so that's really sad as a Spider-Man fan.
All right. Also, NBA 2K12.
Jack said not shit. No, Jack liked it a lot. He gave it a 9.5, I do believe.
That was really high.
Yeah. Those games are awesome, though. If
you little game that you guys may have heard of, Dark Souls, which IGN did a 24-hour marathon and ended with the review. Yeah. So that's out, as well as Rage, which Charles reviewed and liked, despite, you know, a few things that he didn't like here and there.
Gave it an 8.5, right? Now. Didn't Rage get an 8.5?
It did get an
8.5. And then in Demon Dark Souls got 9. Straight up 9.
A lot of good
and now
games.
You know what to buy.
Yeah. And I think Totori came out last week, correct?
Yes, it did.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I remember us talking about that. And then on PSP, the only thing... So as we often say, we get this list from the GameStop, you know, new releases list, just so we can see everything that's hit store shelves. Here's what they listed on PSP is the latest and greatest, okay? We have NBA 2K12, the PSP version. The next thing on the list of recently released items is ATV Off-Road Fury Blazin' Trails from April 19th, 2005.
That's upsetting, PSP.
Finally.
That can't be right, though, because Persona 2 came out since then, in between those games.
Right.
GameStop has stopped caring.
GameStop does not think that 2005 was the latest. I just thought that was a funny little glitch. Or
GameStop,
whatever.
You sons of bitches.
It was just an accident.
Disgracing the PSP's memory. May it rest in peace.
Do we want to go over the digital front?
Yeah, what came on the digital front? What did Jeff Rubenstein and the wife cook up this week?
Okay, there was some good shit. Some good shit on the update this week. So for all of you PSN Plus subscribers, you get... Costume Quest and Elemental Monster, I think, for free.
Yes, and do not be stupid. Costume Quest is one of my favorite games of recent memory. Go download that.
Get that. Also, free PS1 Classic. If you want to see where the legacy began, you can play the original Warhawk, which was one of my first PlayStation games I ever played. That's free. Anyway, downloadable games for all. Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition for $30. What do we think about that?
That's a game.
That's a game, all right.
I'm with Destin on this one, yep.
That's a game.
There you go.
Crysis for $20, which I'm... this is the original Crysis, which is... This is the first time it's showing up on consoles.
That's a good deal.
$20, I would say, yeah. It's definitely a good price. I'm working on the review now. Originally, I wanted to get it done by the end of the week, but I have tomorrow off because my family is visiting me in town. I would like to say that you can look for it very early next week, hopefully by Monday. Initial evaluation, another reminder that I fucking suck at stealth games. I honestly, like, at this point, like, sometimes I just give up.
But you don't have to play stealth-like.
I don't. But that's sort of the prophet at the beginning of that game is constantly encouraging your character to go stealth. Like, he's like, you know, Nomad, don't forget, you have to engage your stealth technology. And I'm like, okay, thanks, prophet. And I go running, and everybody starts shooting at me. I'm like, I'm just close. So, all right. So that's that. I hope I got their names right. I'm pretty sure character's name is Nomad. No, but is your character Nomad, or is that one of the other soldiers?
I don't remember. It's so
I'm pretty
long,
sure.
Dear IGN, this review is bullshit. You don't even know who you are. Yeah.
So anyway, that was so depressing. And then I just engaged armor mode and actually ran forward towards a truck shooting at me with a chain gun. That was a good idea. All right. Anyway, and here's some other games that are out. NBA Jam on Fire Edition. Yeah. Shift 2 Unleashed. Euphoria, which we just had the review go up recently.
Yes. Vince. Mm-hmm. The Beyond 200 success story.
Yeah.
Showed up here unemployed, stupid. Came out to a bar, we liked him. Now he's writing games for us.
He's writing the games.
It could happen to you,
kids. He's writing reviews.
Just go to hell, Ryan.
Okay. Done.
Already there, Greg.
Already there. Sega Bass Fishing for $9.99. Woo!
Yes.
Look out. Some of these are Dreamcast games. I wish they would clarify. I like start reading these and I'm like, Sega Bass Fishing? What? And Space Channel 5 Part 2.
That was a Dreamcast game.
I know.
Crazy Taxi.
Me Ooh La La, the grooviest reporter in the galaxy.
Woo.
Oh yeah. Then let me continue on with my update. You already talked about Portal 2 DLC. You already talked about Rage. There's Rage DLC
already.
Well, it's just the Wasteland Sewer Missions, which is a store release.
Okay.
I don't really know what that means.
I think that comes with the retail box.
Well, then maybe it's if you find the street.
Well, this is another pass kind of thing then. Yeah. So it's content if you buy it used.
I like it when I go into a store and they're like, "Hey, you just spent $60 on this game, and guess what? Day one, you can download all this other crap."
Assholes.
Also, PS1 classics?
Yeah.
We still play those sometimes.
Sure we do. Lie to the people. Lie to their ears. They can't see your face.
Chrono Trigger is now available, which I was under the impression that was the... Oh, yeah, that was the PS1.
Did they fix the load times for that?
I can guarantee you they did not. But I haven't actually played it, so I guess it isn't a true guarantee. PS2 classics.
For the first time ever, PS2 classics.
PS2 classics. And boy, did they pick a few good ones, didn't they? We have Odin Sphere, which was a swan song, one of the PS2's final great games. We have Maximo Ghosts to Glory.
A great game. Does not come with the boxer shorts this time, though. Remember that? The pre-order of you? That was like the first pre-order incentive that I remember in college.
I'm going to play that game. I actually never played it.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, I should play it. Do you think it'll still be good?
No, probably. I mean, it'll still be good, but it's going to look like crap.
Mm.
One of the people wrote into beyond@ign.com. We haven't had a chance to download these and try them out yet. He was saying that he tried to play it, and the aspect ratio was all screwed up, so he had to jump all the way out, go to his display settings, and turn it to 480 to actually make it run.
Ugh.
Which sounds horrible.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's maybe there's a way around that as far as smoothing or something along those lines.
Did he try to go into the press the home button in-game and change, like, the? Because I know you can mess around with, like, the... like playback settings for classic games.
Yeah, I don't know. But there are options there. We'll fool around with it. We'll see.
Okay. We'll fiddle?
Yeah.
And diddle?
Yep.
Okay. Grim Grimoire also came out.
Fantastic game.
Yes. As well as Ring of Red. Take on an alternate history in this thrilling turn-based strategy game. I've heard of it before. I've never played it. Stephanie's just drinking my water now. I swear, if you get me sick, I'm going to come after you.
I'm not sick.
And your imaginary dog.
What?
And then, I don't know, maybe you have an imaginary dog that I will kill.
I certainly do, actually.
Jesus.
And then
that's
I would never.
Mean.
No, I love animals. And then God Hand.
Yeah.
An IGN classic.
The legacy of Chris Roper.
The legacy of Chris Roper that I was called out on in an international press conference in Japan over just because of Chris Roper's score. That was fun. Man, when I went to the first Vanquish press event, did you guys ever hear about that? Went to go see Vanquish for the first time, and I think Mikami-san was actually like giving a speech, and he was like, "Is anyone from IGN here?" And I like raised my hand, and like all these like people from around the world turned to me, and then he's like, "Thanks for the God Hand review." And I didn't write it; it wasn't my fault.
I love that we still get email about the God Hand review.
Oh man! And then on the PlayStation Store for PSP, FIFA 12 PSP.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a lot of stuff.
That was a lot of stuff.
Now we come to the part of the show called Pick of the Week, where we decide what
the
best game is. I think it's pretty clear that it's Rage versus Dark Souls. That's why we brought these two.
Ooh.
Stephanie will represent Rage.
Oh, Destin, this is what's going on. You're pitting us against each other.
No, you can do whatever you want.
Keep in mind, I'm not saying they're a close runner-up, but Euphoria was supposed to be really good. And
he gave it a 7.
Yeah, but that's but only because there were caveats there.
Please,
remember.
Please step away from the microphone, Ryan. No, I'm kidding. No, yeah, it was good.
Remember, 7 does not mean bad.
I know, it means good, actually.
Yeah, it actually means good.
But I think we can say that these games are on a different level than Euphoria.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm saying it, so it's said. You can put it on your box if you want Rage.
All right.
On a different Rage on a different level than Euphoria. IGN.com.
On a different level from this other downloadable
different game. Completely.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Give me your thoughts on Rage. You've been playing a lot of it.
Rage!
I have
Show me your rage!
Did you play a little bit of it?
No, I watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
I thought, for like 1 second, I thought that was your example of show me your rage. You like pointed Craig, did you play a little bit of it?
That was as rageful as Stephanie Lee gets. All right, continue, please.
So, Rage is one of those games that I want to like more than I actually do.
Ooh, that's never
and
good.
And so, the reason I say that is because I'm playing on the PS3 version. And let me tell you, Greg, it is not pretty.
Time out really quick. Beyond@IGN.com is where you should write if you ever want to be part of the show. Anthony Mathers writes in, should I get Rage on PS3 or Xbox? Yes, I realize who I'm asking. I don't like having to deal with multiple discs, but I don't know if there are any problems with the PS3 version, such as load times, Deus Ex, also called Deus Ex, controls, Catherine, etc. So, Stephanie Lee, I'm sorry. Now weigh in and help Anthony a bit.
Okay, so...
it's bad on PS3?
It's bad on PS3. And Sam, who sits behind me, is playing the 360 version. And when I look over, it looks great. There are hardly any slowdowns. And not as many technical problems as the PS3 does. There's a lot of textures popping in and out. And
which some, Colin had a huge problem
and
with.
And some entire areas don't render.
Ooh.
So it's like... it's actually detracting from my enjoyment, because when you distill Rage, it's the biggest selling point is that it's the best-looking game.
Or yeah, one of the best-looking games on consoles. Yeah.
And I'm just not getting that feeling from playing the PS3 version. And the load times are pretty ridiculous.
Okay.
Even after that mandatory install in the beginning.
Okay. The 8-gigabyte install.
So there you go. Get Dark Souls.
But no, we're not.
Aside from that, though, the firefights and the shooting is actually a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. Story interesting at all?
I mean, there's really not much of a story. It's really generic.
Okay.
Post-apocalyptic, like, resistance. Wasteland. There's, like, two sides, an authority and a resistance, so that kind of thing. Not really that engrossing.
Okay.
But it's a fun shooter, and then you got that driving aspect, which is kind of a... which is solid. If you played MotorStorm, it kind of plays like that a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, Destin.
Dark Souls is renowned as one of the hardest games of all time, as it's the spiritual sequel to Demon's Souls. It is a difficult experience, but an extremely rewarding one, and that's why playing it and figuring out how to defeat a boss or something for the first time makes it just, it's like crack. You know, like once you take on your first boss or you find the Drake Sword for the first time, you're like, oh, this is so cool. Oh, I took out that stupid dragon that killed me 900 times. It just gives you this sense of accomplishment and reward, and it's a great
so
game.
My first question I have to ask you is how does it reward you? Because everybody keeps saying it's so rewarding. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it just shower you with gold coins every time you defeat a boss?
Well, it's personal satisfaction, right?
Yeah, personal satisfaction. Yeah. It rewards you because you were smarter than that boss that killed you 9,000 times, mm-hmm. and you finally take him out, and he never comes back. He is dead.
Sounds like I would just quit at that point. 9,000 times in. After like 8,576 times.
I'm exaggerating slightly.
Okay, that game just sounds like self-inflicted pain.
It's not that bad, actually. I think it's better than Demon's Souls.
That's what a lot of people have been saying. Yeah, I've caught a lot of tweets and talking about that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Demon's Souls, like, you just die.
But what about... sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you.
We're a conversational podcast. Okay. You're allowed to interrupt.
Okay, so I was wondering, like, in this landscape of so many games to play, and then everyone tells me... you have to put in X amount of hours into actually enjoying Demon's Souls or Dark Souls. I just don't have the patience to get into these games. Like, I have to play 30 hours to finally enjoy it?
No, not at all.
You can enjoy it right off the bat.
You take on a boss pretty early in the game, and it teaches you kind of tactics that you can use to defeat him using the things written on the ground.
I didn't teach you anything. Like, everything was really obtuse.
In the world, it's completely online, so people can write things on the ground.
Oh, right.
And those show up in your game, and mm-hmm. it'll teach you game mechanics. Now, during the tutorial area, they do teach you, like, the controls using those symbols, online or offline, and it will teach you how to defeat the first boss. So I'd say maybe in the first 15 to 30 minutes, you get that first big reward of taking out a boss for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn how to use your magic and attacks and stuff like that.
And you said the battle system's really good, right?
The battle system?
Yeah, do you like it? The actual combat.
Okay, for combat, it's not like a first-person shooter. Like, you need to defend at all times. So you have a shield arm and a attack arm, pretty much. Now, you can dual-wield whatever you want, but you're going to get messed up if you do that. So, you kind of use your shield to defend a lot, and then when you have an opening or somebody hits your shield, they get knocked back because they screwed up, and you can take advantage of them. Another sort of little reward, like, you screwed up, I got you, and you take them out.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Got it.
I played a little bit of Demon's Souls, and I couldn't dig it, so... mm-hmm. For someone who wants to go back and try this, like, Dark Souls or Demon's Souls again, Would you say just skip Demon Souls and go to Dark Souls then?
I'd say skip Demon Souls for sure. Dark Souls is a much more refined experience for me, and being able to figure out where to go. In the booklet for Dark Souls that we got, it actually says, in a time where games hold your hand, we want to bring it back to the NES days where you didn't know how to do anything. You had to talk to your friends to figure out how to discover new things. And I really like that experience, talking to people around the office. Hey, how'd you take out that boss? Oh, I did climb up the ladder, blah, 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 blah. It brings it back to that old school gaming mentality.
You don't like that?
I'm going to make a really offensive comparison.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like something like, in a time when women couldn't vote, we thought we'd take it back to a worse time with less refinement and less reform. I mean,
it's still a refined experience, though.
It's totally extreme. So it's something where Jack would yell at me for using a scarecrow tactic or whatever it's called. I don't know. He knows all about debates and shit. But like the point I'm trying to make is that, I understand what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. And part of me could probably get down with that. It kind of seems like, you know, we've come past that for a reason. Things have been refined for a reason. Maybe not the difficulty part. You know, I still totally invite games to challenge us if they challenge fairly and with enough, if they give you the tools to overcome that challenge.
Can I ask you, have you played the game?
No, so I'm actually really interested to try it. I'm just going off of what I've heard.
I suggest you try it because the experience is very refined, and while the difficulty is there and it allows you to explore freely, it kind of hones you, it teaches you through your defeats.
Okay.
The death is a mechanic that teaches you how to play the game. It's pretty
interesting.
Much. So cool. Yeah, so while it
I'll
difficult,
totally try it. I'm not telling people not to try Dark Souls. Ever since we did the marathon, I've been like kind of like itching to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just playing and Crysis and getting my ass
wrote
kicked.
An amazing review for it.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Keza's British.
She is.
She is.
But she's actually more Scottish.
Please shut up. Okay. Can I just talk once in a while?
So obviously the answer is to buy Dark Souls and not Rage. Right?
They're completely different games.
I know. I love that because the internet gets so mad. Well, like, no, how could he say that?
We have to decide. Yeah. Well, that's the point
now,
of pick of the week.
Actually, the hot comparison now is Dark Souls versus Skyrim.
Yeah. They're different games.
I heard one
games,
will eat one's face.
Five times. Yeah.
5 times. Wow, that's rough. I'm saying my pick of the week would be Dark Souls. I only played a bit of Demon Souls when it first came out, and then I played a bit more when we did the Demon Souls is the fucking awesome game or whatever. And I think I liked them. I do like it, and I'm interested in Dark Souls.
Honestly, I would love to hear your opinion after you play the game.
Sure, man.
To see if you still feel like the points you were bringing up, if you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of get it, you know?
Yeah, so. No, totally. I will play it, and the thing that got me really interested was the Charles PC editor and a friend of Podcast Beyond invested a lot of time into Demon's Souls originally. Mm-hmm. And just his ultimate conclusion after probably 20 to 30 hours was, I don't like this. Are you serious? You're stealing my water again. No, take it. I have enough. I'm just saying, you better not give me your crazy Asian germs.
I think you'll appreciate them.
Yeah, they'll make you stronger.
You'll be the one who enjoys
faster
them the
than
most.
You were before. So I'll be just more agile. Sorry, racist. So what was I saying? Oh yeah, Charles was really, really not like feeling the first one after a long investment. Like he put a lot of time into it, and he just destroyed a weekend playing Dark Souls and loved it. And like I saw him tweet about it. He was really excited in the office about it. And to me, that is the sign of a good game, when you can go back in with already like that sort of hesitation and like, you know,
you already have baggage about
it. You already have baggage, yeah. Exactly. And if it turned him around, man, that's a good sign. So yeah, I will check it out.
Yeah, definitely let me know.
Dark Souls pick of the week.
Well,
no, you're the one who like, I don't even know if I like Rage. It looks like shit.
I'm saying for the
but,
PS3 version.
Fuck Dark Souls.
Quiet, Greg.
You quiet, Stephanie.
No, well, I'm if you're a fan of first-person shooters and you're a fan of id, who basically created the genre, you should definitely check out Rage. I mean, the PR promised like the moons and stars for it, so I had slightly higher expectations, so I was just a little bit underwhelmed.
I gotta be completely honest about Rage. I have had zero interest in that game since they announced
it. High five.
It's another first-person shooter in a post-apocalyptic world.
Totally.
Good graphics. That's nice.
But it's been in development for a long time. And
Clements, you've been on the show for a long time.
I have.
How many times have I said Rage is not interesting?
You've said it many times.
Thank you very much.
But you said you weren't a fan of first person shooters.
Doesn't matter.
I still want to.
I can still see a game coming down the pipeline that's like, oh.
You're saying that from biased stance. You already don't like the genre.
Well, it's not that I don't. No, that's true. I don't enjoy the genre most of the time. It's got terrible storytelling all the time.
Crysis is a first-person shooter.
A camera with a gun. Really for the storytelling, but like there are a couple exceptions, like Portal 2, not really a first-person shooter, but it's in first-person.
Homefront.
And then you have...
I played Homefront for the story. I loved Homefront, and I finished Homefront, and it's as long as a Modern Warfare, and I've never finished a Modern Warfare. I'm like, oh, this is so boring.
But I forgot what I was going to say now.
I guess I finished Modern Warfare.
Wait, the one with the bomb. Destin just asked me something.
I was just going to say, like, Rage, yeah, you have guns and whatever. What does it do that wows me? Crysis is another first-person shooter, and it did something very unique with its combat system, allowing you to go from stealth to strength to run across. That's unique. That hooks me. What does Rage do?
One of the downfalls of Rage is that it actually doesn't innovate on anything, actually. It sticks really closely to tradition, which is kind of refreshing in this... What are you guys whispering about?
Nothing. I was looking at the time. I didn't want to stop the show to see how long the show had gone. But thanks, Stephanie.
It's okay, Stephanie. Keep going.
But it sticks closely to a tradition, so I actually really like the feel of it. It's, like I said, the firefights are fun.
It's just a little underwhelming.
I
will say those Easter eggs are awesome.
They are. Ooh,
yeah.
Check them out on.
Damn it!
I
used the word
Wiki.
Awesome again. I'm grounded from that word.
Are you? Why?
I hate using the word awesome because it's so overused on the internet.
Yeah, it's really
I'm trying
now.
To break my habit of using it.
Use rad. I use rad a lot.
Radical.
Yeah. I like using...
Cowabunga. I like
this
rad.
Is, this is something I've
actually... delicious.
This is something I've been told off on for... told off. That's that I can use
told
that, right?
Off
I guess.
On.
Anyway, it's something that people have told me not to do because it's dumb, but I still do it anyway and I love it. I love using food descriptor words for video games.
Delicious?
So I'll call things delicious or yummy or tasty. And
yummy!
The delicious combat system. So savory.
All right. So again, pick of the week, Dark Souls. It was unanimous.
Not unanimous, but definitely outnumbered. Well, I actually haven't played Dark Souls, so yeah. I'll give it a try.
Okay. Just letting you know, you failed Rage when you said it wasn't that good or that interesting.
You were supposed to prop it up, and you're like, yeah.
No, she was supposed to give it an honest opinion, and she gave an honest opinion, and but now the Rage bucks are coming
hold
in.
On a second,
and the money
hold
she
on a
forgot
second.
She's got her pockets full of money, so now she's got to defend the game. She just said she didn't like.
Hold on a second, though. I mentioned that.
It's not real money.
I mentioned that the PlayStation 3 version is by far the most inferior of the three, so.
The most inferior.
I've been playing that version, so.
Okay.
If you're interested in Rage, check it out, but play it on the 360 or on PC.
All right, good. Thank you for your help.
There you go.
Thanks for your comprehensive thing, then. Ryan.
Yes.
This has been a good topic of the week. Yeah. Rage versus Dark Souls. There you go. We just made the title of the podcast.
But wait, I thought we had other stuff to talk about.
We do, but we have other stuff to do. Real quick, you want to talk about the Vita stuff we saw yesterday?
Yeah, well, I almost thought that was going to be the topic.
Well, that's what it's on. It's on there as topic of the week.
Oh, okay.
But we had a great discussion right there.
Yeah, we did. It was
so
really
let's
good.
Go through Vita real quick. First off, okay. Stephanie, Destin, any interest in the PlayStation Vita?
Somewhat.
No. Wow. Like a little bit. Okay. A little bit because like that's I saw really... the Uncharted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like exclusives like that. I'm like, okay, I'm interested. But am I just gonna get screwed over like I did with Peace Walker?
Wait, whoa. How did you get screwed over by Peace Walker?
So I buy Peace Walker, it's great, but I had to play it on the PSP.
Yeah.
And now it's coming out in an HD collection.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought you were gonna talk shit on Peace Walker. All right.
No,
now we're on the same page.
Peace Walker. I loved it.
Yeah, great.
See, I bought the PSP day one.
Yeah.
And I...
Luminous!
I watched the Spider-Man 2 UMD disc that came with it, and then I never picked it up again for a long time.
Wow. Yeah, that happens.
I would really love if you just said, and then I never picked it up again. You've never once used your PSP.
She thought it was disposable.
Spider-Man.
She thought it was one-time use.
It's a one-shot. Well, good movie, guys.
They just weren't...
It
wasn't anything like worth playing.
It took forever, but I think all the PlayStation team still argues that the PSP really blew up eventually.
Remember all the dead pixels during the launch?
Yeah, there were a lot of dead pixels.
I got like this weird scratch in my screen that just wouldn't go away ever.
Yeah.
Was it when you scratched it?
No, it's like inside.
You're just like, why do I have this weird scratch?
I want to check for dead pixels. I'm going to scratch
the screen. Maybe
the
scissors will help. I'll cut the scratch out.
I'll cut the dead pixel out.
I kid.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen with the PlayStation Vita. It seems like it's going to be well supported, at least at launch for sure.
And it's interesting to hear people say, you know, no interest in the Vita because I am so excited for the Vita. I would I mean, I would actually.
There are a couple games I want to play on it for sure.
Yeah. Like what?
Uncharted.
Yeah, we just saw that.
Yeah.
Saw it yesterday. Got to play it. Clements actually forgot to play. For the longest time,
I thought you guys were playing Uncharted 3.
No, we were. We did both. Yesterday, we went to Sony headquarters and we played like 2 hours of Vita and then like an hour of Uncharted 3.
Having played the Vita, can I ask you a question about it? Now, okay, when I played Peace Walker, my hands were so freaking cramped.
Yeah, after playing that.
Did you notice any of that with the Vita?
Yes, but I think it's because I was trying to hold it like the PSP. Because remember, the whole thing is now you can't touch the rear touchscreen for certain games and whatever. So, like, yeah, thank you. And so, like, it was like my pinky was crunched in like I was trying to hold the PSP. I think it all comes down to getting used to holding it again. Because when I first got a PSP, yeah, it hurt. But then my hands got used to holding it that way. Kind of like when you first hold the controller. But then the people who only play, like, one or two games on it are always like, this thing fucking hurt all the time.
Here's the thing, Destin. I would say that if you can either disable back touch or it's not required, I think that just having your hands on along the back, extremely comfortable. I was a pretty heavy PSP user for like a long time, and I think the Vita for now seems really comfortable. I'm a little concerned, just a slight amount, with the size of the D-pad and the buttons, because they're a little smaller than I would have thought. Just because they need more real estate to work with, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really comfortable, and I'm pretty, you know, I'm fickle about that. Like, I thought the Go was one of the most uncomfortable devices I've ever held. Uh-huh. So
for me, the pinky thing was coming during Uncharted because I was using the shoulder button so much. I wanted to prop them up so that I wasn't like pushing the Vita out of the back of my hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Uncharted looked great. It felt really what I thought I it really really about felt great. Looked good. It felt like an Uncharted game, which is a big feather in the cap of Bend, cool. Since this is not Naughty Dog. It's not the people who do the real Uncharted games.
How much did you use the back touching?
No, in this demo I didn't use it at all. But I used a lot of front touching, which I was not a fan of in the way they were using it. In the past, in the demos before, you've come to things, you can crawl up. I do like being able to, like, when you're on a handhold, like you're climbing a wall, you can just trace where you want him to go, and he'll just go automatically then once you trace it. So it's like, that's fine. But they were like, you know how, like, in Uncharted, you have to, like, grab beams and hold them up so people can go underneath them? Like, they did that a lot in 2. That's happening here, and when I was engaging in this, I had to then swipe the front screen.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan of that, because I had to take my hands off the buttons and everything else. And they were saying that they're probably going to put in real controls there, because everything else you can ignore. You can hit X, you can play Uncharted the way it should be played, normally played. But here in this demo for right now from TGS, it was the same kind of thing where you're doing up there.
One of the coolest things I've seen in Vita touch implementation before, or until now, I should say up until now, is that you basically get extra buttons, which I think is awesome.
Yes.
So let's ignore back touch for a second. Let's even ignore like traditional, like take your hand off and like do swipey stuff. Like holding the Vita, I've seen a lot of developers, like your thumbs are already really close to the screen, and developers have been doing like extra little side buttons on the screen that you can reach over and touch with your thumb.
Yeah,
that's awesome, because that's just giving you like a whole different button. I saw that in Resistance.
Yeah, for the axe melee.
Yeah, for axe melee, you can actually just like reach over. Like
Uncharted does it for certain pickups and certain
really
melee
really
stuff.
Cool.
I like that.
That stuff is really neat, and if it's designed well, then it's because like the Resistance axe, it is literally like designed to be right next to your thumb. Mm-hmm. So you just reach over and touch, and you swing an axe. And
another good example of the touchscreen I thought was Hot Shots Golf. Like, I'm a big Hot Shots Golf fan, but their menu system when you're getting into the game is designed that everything's right there at the corner or the sides of the screen. So you just bring your thumb over and you're touching it and doing it.
And like the camera, like there's like a camera icon like right to the side of the screen. So you like, I don't know why I'm trying to do this for them, but anyway, if you just reach over and hold the button down, and then you can flick in a direction to change the camera. So it's like kind of a contextual touch motion.
When you touch the buttons on the touch screen, does it give you some kind of haptic feedback? Because that's like the biggest thing that people need.
It shades. It lights up or does something different. There's no pressure. The screen doesn't
click in or anything.
Yeah, it's not.
Well,
like,
I mean, not that.
It's not like an iPhone where like you need to click or anything. I think it's just like one time you kind
of
tap it.
But I think for a touch screen like controller to be successful, people need that haptic feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why buttons feel so good. We like pressing buttons.
She's making up words.
What's haptic mean?
Well, it's just like little vibrations too.
Little vibration.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that
encompasses
the shock you.
Doesn't the shock does the Vita have any sort of? I don't think it does.
Rumble.
No, it doesn't rumble. So no, they couldn't do a rumble. They can do visual feedback. No.
But actually, I actually want the Vita and even the 3DS to succeed, because I don't want to see the slow decline. Or the inevitable decline of handheld games.
I don't know if we're going to see that, because if anything, we're going to see its rise, considering the iPhone's success.
I mean, dedicated handhelds. gaming handheld.
That's over with. It's on its way out.
I mean, how many of you guys got a 3DS in this room?
No, I don't. None of us.
Nobody.
Do. Yeah.
Nobody. Really?
Yeah.
All of us are gonna have.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. The hardware, I think, is flimsy, and I don't like its design. And yeah, I'm waiting for awesome games that I can't.
That's not a resultant of me not wanting a dedicated. Yeah. I love dedicated gaming handhelds. Like,
I mean, I just think of it as another system. If they have a great game, I'm going to buy it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not a question of handheld blah blah. Oh, I'm going to play this. I'm only going to play this on my couch. Well, yeah. So what? No. Big deal.
The Vita's going to blow up, I think, and
that'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see if it
I think it'll blow up in Japan, and it'll do better than the PSP did in the US, but maybe not by like leaps and bounds.
I want to disagree on that because I fell for it with the PSP. I feel like they're doing the same thing they did with the PSP. Mm-hmm. The PSP comes out with like, wow, look how good these graphics are. This game looks great. I got Tiger Woods Day One, Need for Speed, all these games.
Ridge Racer, and in a few months,
I put it down and I never played it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the graphics thing, I didn't care.
Yeah. No, I don't. You
know, it's going to be about support.
It's about support and software.
Yeah, you know what really pissed me off actually when they... Sorry to interrupt you, Ryan. Okay.
Conversational podcast.
Sony was pushing their universal media disc, and they completely abandoned it.
Yeah.
So that was...
Well, they weren't really universal. Yeah, I don't know if you know this.
They were at all.
You couldn't play them in a VCR. You couldn't play them in...
Yeah, it was dumb.
Well, now Ryan's got something to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of fatal flaws to that statement that you just made. So the first thing is that I would argue that... They're delicious flaws. I would argue that, first of all, the Vita launch lineup is already way better than the PSP's lineup.
The amount
of content that they've already revealed as not even being like at launch but coming after launch is also like really impressive. Like sometimes that's not even how they do a console launch.
Yeah,
you know, they just have announced a lot of stuff that's coming. And second of all, you're totally forgetting that where the PSP kind of stood on its own for a long time and thus fumbled, right at launch, Vita is almost like a extension of your PS3. There's tons of connectivity there. There's trophies that go back and forth.
Ruin.
You can play shit, you know. Both.
Transferring.
Yeah.
They did that with the Pocket Station and PlayStation. Just the Pocket Station was never released in the U.S.
Well, yeah, so... Yeah.
Well, now we're ready for it.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Sure.
Can I play my Vita games on my PS3, like on my TV, using a PS3 controller?
I don't think...
Remains to be seen.
Oh, well, actually, well, I mean, you can play Ruin.
You figure... Well, he's talking about using the Vita like a console. You could do that with Resistance Retribution on the PSP. Mm-hmm. Pick up a DualShock, play it on, put it a video out.
That's what people really wanted with the PSP, to be able to use a controller because, you know, just it was a little awkward.
But now the thing is, here's another reason. Now the Vita is essentially like it's a compartmentalized DualShock. It just doesn't have dual triggers on the top. I mean, you have the two sticks, which is pretty much the requirement nowadays for proper, you know, control.
Yeah. I got to get my hands on it before I can really formulate my opinion.
It's a different machine, but it's going to be interesting to see how many people were burned by the PSP and thus are going to be like,
And the trouble is, from someone who also felt burned by the PSP for a long time until I hit all the games that I loved. I mean, now that I can see the Vita and I've tried it out, like I'm 100% behind that device. So I really hope it does well.
I feel like I should know this, but what's the media format for the Vita? Like,
everything will be available digitally, so you can download it.
Okay.
But they will, if you don't want to do that, they have proprietary cards. The games will come on little cartridges that you can put in the top of the machine.
Yeah, because like my greatest fear, like I said, when Sony pushed the UMDs, and even back then with the MD player and those little
mini discs.
They dropped that too. Like,
yeah.
So people have these stacks of useless media.
I mean, they want to move. Formats. I think the PSP Go was, you know, them saying we really want to move in a digital way, but now we understand that, you know, GameStop is still GameStop. So, hey, yeah, go buy Uncharted Golden Abyss on this tiny little card and carry, you know, 17 stamp-sized cartridges with you or whatever. But, like, the first thing I'm going to do is they have a proprietary memory stick for it, too. I want to buy the biggest one they have and, you know, hopefully never worry about it again. Just have all my games ready to go.
Yep.
And the big thing I like about... the push for Vita this time around is that it's all about games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like with the PSP, the big problem, right, was it does everything mediocrely. You know what I mean? Like, here's your fucking songs and shit. Yeah. It doesn't know how to categorize anything. It just is that. You know what I mean? Like they had that in the movies and blah, blah. And now it's strictly like the video store will work from the PlayStation store, but, you know, it's games and here are the games and here's how we're working games and stuff. So.
And this is their, you know, they've had a lot of time to perfect their, you know, not perfect. That's a strong word. But the PSP was their first dedicated handheld, you know? And this is
lessons learned.
I mean, they've done multiple iterations of the PSP, then they did the PSP Go.
So they've had time to experiment, and I think this is the coming to fruition, all those efforts.
Well, on the plus side, the PSP is the second most successful handheld ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, sold a lot, but they need Monster Hunter. So get on that, Capcom. Don't let the DS run away with that guy. Ryan, we saw a bunch of Vita games there.
Yes.
You can read all about them on IGN.com. We're putting up a feature where even he only does everything, Colin Moriarty, he's been risen from the dead, to write about his thoughts in each one of these games. I will tease that there's a whole bunch more games to talk about, including Gravity Rush, which I think everybody was surprised by and liked. And not you, because you knew you loved it from TGS.
I already knew that.
But you talk about so many crazy-ass Japan games, we're like, well, we'll see if this one pans out. This one panned out.
Yeah.
Very cool looking. Me and Colin, we're both excited about it. Read all about it on IGN.com.
Savory coverage.
Savory coverage. Before we get out of here, let's do some reader mail. Mail call. Maelstrom. You know how it goes.
Greg.
Aaron writes into beyond@IGN.com. He says, hey, people of Beyond. I just wanted to say the new Sony ad was fantastic. And if Sony keeps these kinds of ads when they release their next system instead of a baby crying ads, because those were crap. Yes, Aaron, I would like to not see the baby crying ads come back. If you haven't seen this, there's an ad out called Michael. We have it on IGN.com. We have the Rewind Theater where we break down every reference in it because it's a live-action trailer featuring your favorites like Nathan Drake, Cole,
Lightning,
Kratos, Metal Gear Solid's guy, Lightning. Snake, I believe is his name. Yeah. Anyways, they're all there. This is the one that got teased last week. Kevin Butler put up 50 seconds of a trailer, and we were like, oh, maybe it'll be something really cool. And then it was just more arcing, which is what we predicted. I'm torn on it. Destin, do you care at all about this commercial?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Stephanie, I didn't see it either.
Really? Wow, okay.
I've been meaning to, I just keep forgetting.
My problem with it was, I think it's a great commercial. I think it's totally cool. Like, a lot of people tweeted that they got teared up at the end, because it is kind of this really, like, rallying video game character moment, you know what I mean? Of, like, them, because they're celebrating the kid who plays them. Michael is the guy who plays all these games, and these are all the, you know, that...
Man, I need to watch it. I feel, like, so out of touch. I've been so busy with everything else.
Yeah. I liked it. I did feel like, oh, like it was a cool moment at the end, but still, I was like, why did they tease a commercial a week out? That's the weird part.
They should just put it out.
Yeah. And we say that, but here we are, and then we've been talking about this commercial for a week, and it was really popular, and a whole bunch of people saw it.
You're falling into
their trap. This is just a setup for their completely new campaign, right? They're like rolling that out.
Long live play.
Yeah, long live play. But it's already been rolled out. Like, it's not like that. We hadn't heard that before, you know? Yeah. Kevin Butler chatted it. Carlos writes in, I'm a former Iraq vet turned 8th grade teacher. Even though I know that holds no bearing, I am an American of African and Japanese descent. I hate hyphens. I'm teaching my class about character diversity in media and how proportional it is. He says proportional. It is that we examine TV and movies and now video games. Can you guys give a few examples of games with African Americans as lead characters? The biggest one coming up is Starhawk. Starhawk features a man named Everett, who is the big guy. He's the main character of this thing. Not a side character. Not some kind of... I don't want to say stereotypical portrayal, but stereotypical portrayal. Like, Dead Island, of course, had Sam B in there, but he's this really obnoxious rapper.
I don't consider those illegal. Or illegal.
What? I don't consider Sam B illegal. Stereotypical? A lead character?
Yes, lead character.
You can consider Sam B a lead character. I'm saying he's a bad example, too, heads up.
Yeah, that is.
You was a dead bitch now. That was a big bitch. Like, shut up, Sam B. And I would have said Cole from Gears 2 was a bad example, too. But I think his character is really fleshed out in 3, and I actually enjoyed him a lot when he went back home.
They fleshed out a lot of the characters in 3.
Okay. Yeah. What else you got for me? What else? Anybody else?
NBA 2K. I'm horrible.
Kobe Bryant's in there. Sure, he's a good role model. He says he's already cited Resident Evil 4 and Dead Island 2, by the way.
This is tough.
It doesn't have to be the main character.
He says lead, but then he cites those, so I don't know.
Well, Assassin's Creed, that guy's Italian. Does that count?
Sure.
Did he say African-American specifically?
He does, yeah.
Oh, okay. So then it doesn't count. I'm an idiot.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm not an idiot.
But this is something, if you remember when Anthony put up his Starhawk preview, the debut of Starhawk, he put in there that he thought that it was really cool that Lightbox was taking a risk that you don't see in video games and making a black protagonist, because it's not something a lot of people do, because, you know, how many times have we seen the typical... early mid-30s white male shaved head character.
I mean, he's by Nolan North.
Exactly. He's in every game, so it is, and it is a problem. Not a problem, but it is something the industry needs to be looking at, and not put characters in that are different races just to put them in, but put them in a way that makes sense and makes them a fleshed out character.
Man, I'm trying to think.
It's tough.
It's upsetting that it's so hard to think of examples.
Mm. All right, well, you can keep thinking.
It's also sad that one of the first examples to pop in my head is Barrett Wallace from Final Fantasy VII.
50 Cent.
Blood in the Sand. He was the lead character there. Mm-hmm. That was a great game.
That was actually based around a different game, wasn't it? Like they were building they a different game. For something else? Yeah, they were making a different game, and then 50 Cent's like, yeah, put my face on that.
I just remember that it had great lines like, grenade, motherfucker! Awesome.
Classics.
I always pronounce his name wrong. Our friend from Israel, Tel Aviv.
Yair.
He writes in. He says, my question is, how does a review playthrough differ from a game you're just playing for fun? Also, do you think being a game journalist has made you more critical towards games? Ryan, why don't you take it?
Oh, thanks, man. I would say I don't think I'm more critical towards games. I think what I bring to a review is pretty much my personal and normal reaction to a game, and I sort of contextualize it and put it into writing. I mean, I would say that the professionalism, if you will, comes from, you know, me trying to be as fair as possible and explain everything clearly and make sure that I'm, you know, not. I don't have like a clouded judgment on anything, but generally speaking, when I review a game, that's Ryan Clements reviewing a game.
Yeah.
But I will say that playing a game for fun is totally different. And thank God, because I don't want to get sick of games in general.
Yeah.
When I get to play a game for fun, I feel a lot more relaxed. There's no deadline. You can just have fun. You can like goof around for a while. You don't have to worry about, I need to get to the ending. So
It may be just the time of year and where we are and stuff, but I find the games I play for fun, I rarely finish. You know what I mean? Like Deus Ex, I played for a while so I could talk about it and be intelligent and have an opinion, and then I was done with it.
Yeah.
Catherine, I really, 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 really dug Catherine, and I then went to Comic-Con, and I came back and tried to get back into it, but I sucked at the puzzles. So I was like, well, I don't know if I'll ever do this again.
I used her guides.
Yeah.
I totally cheated.
And like, as far as playing a game, it does differ than playing for fun. I mean, I feel like I have to see everything and do everything, even if it's just for a little bit. So like, you know, challenge maps or something I wouldn't normally do. A new game plus, you know, that I'm really not a huge, like I play my games for stories, as everybody knows. So it's rare for me. The story has to be really good for me to want to go back through and do it again. But like, I want to do all that in, you know, a game I'm playing as far as for review. So I can see everything and not have some stupid thing pop up in the fourth act that screws me over that I say in a review didn't happen and then happens.
Yeah.
What about for, I mean, guides has got to be completely different for you guys, right?
I think it's nice to play games without having this like professional obligation to play it. So when I sit down and actually play games for fun, the game actually has to strike me as fun for me to play it. So that's the thing.
I've written my fair share of reviews like before I was with IGN, but I always make sure that like, okay, I need to play through the campaign, beat it. I need to make sure to experience multiplayer and all these aspects. And sometimes I don't want to play multiplayer.
Totally.
But I have to play it to be able to write about
it. Exactly. Dead Space 2 really was that important way for me. It's like, I don't want to play these modes. And it's not like, and I don't want that to sound like I came in biased against it. It was just like, that's not Dead Space for me really, you know, blah, blah. And so I got in, you know, thank God Dead Space universally panned for that multiplayer. So you don't have to worry about my, you know, judgment being clouded, but...
Mm-hmm.
Interesting time.
Yeah,
interesting.
But with guides, it's actually really nice because, like, when I love a game, I like to get all the achievements and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now that's my job.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, like,
what about when you hate a game? When you get a game you don't want to do the guide for?
I don't have to do that. Oh, okay. We don't do games that I'm not interested in. Like, we have enough guides people that she did Rage, and I got to play Dark Souls and do boss strategy.
Nice.
So I get to play the games I love.
Perfect.
There you go. It's
final a question.
Beautiful world. Mm. Delicious.
Final question at Beyond. Remember, beyond@ign.com if you want to be part of the show. Stephanie Lee, this is from Matt Elsop, and you are the only person who's going to answer it. Are you ready?
Maybe.
Who is hotter, Chloe or Elena? Personally, I'm an Elena guy.
You said she...
Chloe is more sexualized.
Okay.
So
you're saying she's hotter?
I can't decide.
Oh, Stephanie Lee, come on now. You pulled this rage.
Hotter? Really?
Yeah. Who's hotter? Who would you rather marry?
That's a tough question for me.
You know what, Ryan? I said only she can answer it. You slap the mic away from your face. Thank you. So you got no answer.
Does Nathan Drake come into this?
No.
No.
I mean,
what if... Like,
don't everybody move away from the joke. Everyone move away from that joke.
Whoa.
Okay.
So. I see where this is going.
You saw where that joke was going? All right.
I know where it's going. It's...
Yeah, all right, good. Anyways, the correct answer is Elena. Gosh, you suck at this.
The correct answer.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, to be a part of the show, you write into beyond@ign.com. Remember, if you're going to New York Comic Con, come to the panel, 7:30, there at the New York Comic Con. Podcast Beyond Live, we're giving away a whole bunch of free stuff, including Ratchet and Clank controllers. Remember, if you are in the Subway beta, write into beyond@ign.com and ask for a Subway code for some DLC. I'll send it along to you. It says beta when you download it. Okay. It's got a level cap. Not everything's unlocked, so I'm assuming, yeah, there's more coming.
Semantics.
Exactly. Whatever. Yeah. It's there. Remember to follow us on Twitter,
IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Ryan is Puam Cider.
Hello.
Stephanie Super Lee 7.
Mm-hmm.
And Destin, I don't know yours.
Destin Legary. Good luck spelling it.
All right, good. That's it.
Google
go,
it.
Go find the fix he hosted, and they'll have a spelling there. Yeah. Name. Remember to read IGN.com every day, please. That's what we really need from you.
Yes.
But
tell your friends about Podcast Beyond.
Yes. If you like the show, tell your friends about it. Make sure we grow it.
Yeah, a few gamers at your local mom and pop game store, and they're like, which game should I buy? And you like walk in, and you know who could tell you? Podcast Beyond at IGN. And they're like, what's a Beyond?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's a computer? I'll tell you.
Or if they need help with games, they can go to the guide section on IGN.
Guides.ign.com. Yeah, I highly recommend that one.
Now including wikis, which I still think is one of the coolest things we've done on the site in a while.
Yeah, I'm really glad for them.
I gotta say. Ryan?
Yeah?
Take me home.
Yeah. I have one more announcement before I take you home, though.
Is it just part of you taking us home? I mean, now the show is yours.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to my cabin. You're in charge of the ship.
All right. Knock the mic away, Greg. There we go. All right. So
I can't wait to break these mics. Oscar Tag is going to try to figure it out. I'll listen to this one show.
Well, we've been tapping them very gently.
I did not tap it gently. I'll tell you right now.
Well, there you go.
Get the shit out of it.
Remember, everyone, if you want to be a part of the Ryan Clements only K-pop extravaganza meet and greet when I'm in New York City, about 2 weeks after Greg and Colin are there, you can follow me on Twitter because I will be announcing where we'll actually decide to go on the location. So that's the weekend of October 21st, I want to say. We're going to be there on Friday and Saturday and Sunday for a K-pop concert that Stephanie wants to go to, but she can't because she's going to save up money for an even better trip.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about it.
But I'm still jealous.
Well, don't worry. I will take lots of pictures.
So you'll,
anyway,
you'll
follow
abduct
me
one
on,
of the Super Junior
yes,
members?
Yes, I will abduct one of the Super Junior. I would rather abduct one of the Shiny members and bring him back because then we could share him. That was scandalous.
So
follow me on Twitter, Puam Cider, PWAM Cider, and I will announce all that business at some point. If you want to meet me and say hello to some Beyond folks, basically myself.
Yeah. The only Beyond folk.
You and Colin wouldn't be coming
to that. We'll have already been there and gone.
I'm trying to think. I think there was... I'm definitely going to try and bring some stuff to give away, too. So you wouldn't be leaving this meet and greet empty-handed. Also, I'm going to be on an absolute adrenaline rush if you see me after this concert. So that might be really fun. So don't take video of me because I could probably lose my job with freaking out, just screaming down the streets of New York, just punching out people. Then throwing K-pop at them. So the song we are going to end with, which is a tradition here on Podcast Beyond, was pretty special because we got a package in the mail, Greg, from Mike. Do you think I should give Mike's last name? He signed it off.
Yeah, sure, why not?
It's Valancourt. Valen?
That's a cool last name.
Valancourt. Yeah, I like that. That's a good name.
I'm not actually sure on the pronunciation, but it's badass pretty much regardless of how you pronounce it. Mike sent in a bunch of T-shirts and stickers and samples of his band's CD, which we are now going to plug. By the way, Mike, if you want to find him on PSN, is The Reaper 50.
That's a good one.
Do you want that?
PSN Hacker Farm.
Thank you.
The new mics don't sound like helicopter.
But yeah. I would like to say at some point I do want to hear the pilot come back.
Okay.
Okay. Just to let you know. So if you want to, where did oh shit, where's that thing?
Come on, take us home, Ryan.
Greg, I'm trying, but I brought up a sticker with the guy's band and it's not here.
Is it this?
Yeah, that you probably took to look at.
You were stealing his
now
water.
We know who to never bring on the podcast again.
Little Rage sucks, but I wouldn't say it's not pick of the week.
All right, so
Mike is
part of a group called No Stars Over California, which I think is a badass name. You can find more about them at www.nostarsovercalifornia.com. Easy, right? This is pretty cool. I pretty much dig like heavier bands that have female lead singers. I think that's badass. So let us play a song from Mike's CD, which, by the way, iTunes didn't recognize like any of the track names, and since they weren't written on the case, I don't actually know what the name of this song is called, unfortunately. It's track 2 off the CD they gave me. So here's track 2.
Track 2, my favorite.
No Stars Over California.
Twice as good as number 1.
Beyond.
Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.